from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Here we are, gathered around. Happy Monday to you. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Today's the 20th day of September, year of our Lord, 2021. My name is Tom Sullivan. Well, we got a lot. I mean, our cup has been overflowing lately, and it's doing it again today. We've got stock markets down 936 points. So we'll get into all of that. We may need to dust off the kazoo today. We've got the immigration problems on the border, especially Del Rio, Texas. They're now close to 13,000 people there, and a big chunk of them are Haitians. How did they get there? Well, they're there. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's just a disaster. We've got the vaccine questions and about the vaccine they're proposing for the children 5 and to 11, and apparently Pfizer says it works really well. We've got, by the way, our big America is back. The allies love us again. I mean, that the big bad orange man, oh, he made such a mess of our foreign relations. Well, we are in a fight with our oldest ally. Macron is fit to be tied about what Joe Biden has been doing. He is furious. He recalled the French ambassador to the United States. Speaking of all this foreign stuff, this is UN week in New York. It's just you can't get anywhere because they got roads closed off and everything else. Because you get all these tin horn potentates running around, and all the good restaurants are booked and everything else. So they live large. I mean, that's what you do. You go into government and you become a big deal and you live large. You go, you get the finest restaurants, and I'm sure the taxpayers of these various countries are paying for their meals. So we've got all that. Plus, we've got the sad news that Gabby Petito, they believe the body they found in Wyoming is her. And we will get confirmation maybe tomorrow. They're trying to fly in a forensic pathologist. You would think they would have one somewhere around there, but apparently they don't. So they're going to fly in a forensic pathologist. So the autopsy is going to begin tomorrow. But I love the emails. I got people chewing me out, just chewing me out. You owe her family an apology, and what you were so wrong about Gabby and the fact that it's not a prank and it's a. Let me go back over this. On Friday, we didn't know where she was. And I said, I am hoping that it is a prank because there are pranksters out there. And we all the way back to the balloon boy. And there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of weird stuff on social media to be social media influencers. Because you can make a lot of money if you become a social media influencer. So I said, I hope it's just a prank. I hope it is. But in my heart, I had one other choice. Or she's dead, and she's been dead for 2 weeks. I didn't want to say that, but, I mean, that's the reality. You ask any police officer out there, when somebody goes missing in suspicious circumstances, generally if they are not found quickly, most of these abductions and things like that, the person is usually killed within 30 minutes. This wasn't an abduction. But there was a absolutely fascinating break to this case. And it brings up a hobby out there, which people get mad at me for the darndest things. I remember years ago, I was talking about I said, you know, on the weekends, you see people, they're pulling trailers with jet skis on them. You see them pulling horse trailers. You see them pull. I mean, there's people have all these hobbies, and you see a lot of it on the move on the weekend on highways. And so one of the, and so I said, yeah, I said, there's even people that they collect rocks. And I thought, okay, if you, that's interesting. There's people that collect old whiskey bottles for the labels. And I was going, people yelled at me, said, I'm a rock collector. Why are you making fun of me? I'm not. I just thought it was, it's not my cup of tea, but I thought it's fascinating to watch human nature come up with all these hobbies. So there is a group of people out there that are nomadic. And in fact, the story about the YouTube video that Gabby and her boyfriend put together was the title of it is Nomadic. And there is a bunch of people that do that. And I mean, different strokes for different folks. But there is this one family, the Bethunes. Now, her name is Jen. I'm not sure what his name is, but her name is Jen Bethune. And they have this big old motorhome. It's an RV. I mean, it's a huge one. And in this motorhome, they have four dogs and three kids and the two parents. So five humans and four dogs in this motorhome, and they live in there, and they travel around. So they have GoPro cameras, and they apparently do this looking for these campsites that are not, you know, they don't have all the facilities. They're out, so you don't need the facilities. You got a big old RV. They've got beds and rest, a bathroom and a shower and all that stuff inside. So they are out driving around, and they went to find a camping spot at this site in Wyoming. And if it wasn't for them and their GoPro camera, they are the ones, if you haven't seen it, you can look it up. Go look at Red, White, and Bethune on YouTube. And there they are driving down this dusty road looking for a campsite big enough to handle their big old motorhome. Well, they go by this white van, and they get down to the end of the road. They turn around, they come back, and they go by it again. Next to the white van are on the ground are is a pair of flip-flops that match what Gabby was wearing. On the dashboard of the of this white van was the straw hat, big floppy straw hat that she has worn in some of the videos. So we know that's their van. And these people drove by. They're from Florida, and they saw the Florida plates, and they said, oh, we should stop and say hello, because you don't see too many Florida plates out in Wyoming. And they noticed that the van was completely dark. Nobody was around. They thought maybe they were out hiking or doing something. So they didn't think twice about it, and they drove on. So later, that was on August 27th. So late last week, they find out that the last call from Gabby to her mother was where Gabby said they're going to the Grand Teton National Park. That was their plan. And as an aside, if you have never been there, it's been a long time since I've been there, but it is the most majestic sight. It is worth going to the Grand Tetons, and Yellowstone is just up the road a ways from that. But it's gorgeous there. So they said, gosh, they're out camping in that white van, and we were in that area. Let me go back and look up our GoPro video. So this woman rolls back on her video, and she's looking and looking and looking and looking, and she, here it is. So she called the 800 FBI tips line, And the FBI tips line said, yeah, thanks. Just send your information to the online site, FBITips.gov/Petito. And we'll get back to you if we have any questions. So they never got back to her. Never got back to her. And this is why it's so frustrating for people when they call the police. The police act like, yeah. So she sent it to Gabby's mother. How she knew how to get a hold of her, I don't know. Gabby's mother said, look at this. That's the van. We know where it is. So since the authorities were in touch with Gabby's mother, they went, oh, my gosh, look at that. So they dispatched the search crews. Now they know in the 330,000-acre Teton National Park, which they may or may not be in, which they would have searched till the cows come home. And it's because of this couple, the Red, White, and Bethune couple with their RV and their GoPro cameras, they broke this case to where they immediately sent search dogs and search teams, and they found Gabby on Sunday, yesterday. Now, you want to hear one other strange part to all of this. This couple, the Red, White, and Bethune couple, they had their three kids with them. They had a fourth child. He was killed in a car accident when he was 7. He died on September 19th at 12:05 a.m. I don't know how many years ago, many years ago. This woman was up looking for the video, seeing if they saw the white van in any of their videos, thinking it's a long shot, but I'll look. She found it at 12:05 a.m. yesterday morning on the anniversary of her little boy's death. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. We'll take a short break and be right back. Don't go away.
Tom Sullivan. He's a stable genius. He's the smartest guy in the room.
Thank you very much. All right, let's start with the some of the people that are talking about Gabby Petito. Dr. Michael Bodden, who is a forensic pathologist, he was the New York medical examiner for years. They bring him in on a lot of big cases. I wonder if that's who they're waiting for. I wonder if they're bringing him in. Anyway, Bodden was asked about all this, and he says, yeah, he says, probably the fastest way for them to identify the person that they found is by the tattoos that were on Gabby's body.
Nowadays, police want to wait for DNA to come back, number one. That may take a day or two once they draw the specimen at the autopsy. But as you pointed out, the tattoos on her arms that are apparent in the video when she's interviewed by the police that you showed just a few minutes ago, are very unique, unusual tattoos. And even after 25 days, taking into account decomposition over the time, tattoos are very durable and protected by the outer layer of the skin. They're the underlayers of the skin. And that would have been enough to make a definite identification unusual tattoos. But they're going to wait to get DNA also, dental records that they may have comparisons that the family gave her dental records in days ago, and also x-rays that they'll take of bones. So the identification will be completed within a day or two, I suspect. But right now, it's really for all intents and purposes, it's a definite identification. It isn't anybody else. Next, the next point of view is what is the cause of death, and that'll take the autopsy. The body is still probably at the site where she was found, because the person in charge of that body is the coroner. The FBI does not have their own medical examiner coroner. They'll wait there for the coroner to come and make a decision on moving the body. They have a lot of potential trace evidence at the scene. Shoe prints that he could have left days ago, but more likely a cigarette butt, a soda can, a beer can that may have been discarded at the scene that would have fingerprints and DNA on it even after 25 days.
Yeah, but they know that they were together, so his DNA or fingerprints being around. But here, let me go back to this video of Red, White, and Berthune. If you look at that video, and they posted it on YouTube, and by the way, Dr. Bodden was talking yesterday afternoon, so the coroner did come late yesterday and did take the body away. So that's out of date. But if you look at the Red, White, and Berthune video, everybody's focusing on, there's the white van. There it is. Oh, my gosh, that's it. And there's her hat in the window and her flip-flops on the ground and, oh, my gosh, you could do it. Well, back that video up a couple of frames, and I wasn't the one who saw this. I saw some of the posters were going, did you see what? There is some guy out in the field to the left of the van. When they first approach it, there's the van sitting alongside the road in the bush, by the bushes. And if you look out further left, there's only a couple of glimpses because there's brush around there. There's some guy out there looking like he is digging. So I am sure the video people at the FBI have magnified that a million times, and they'll be able to see what that was all about. If that was where she was found, then you've got a video of somebody out there doing something. So Michael Bodden is, yeah, I mean, the question is, they need to find out, was it a snake bite? Did she fall? Was she hit with blunt force trauma? He even brings up, they'll do toxicology, which takes a couple of weeks to see if there was a drug overdose. I mean, he's asking all the questions that a pathologist will ask, because they have to ask every question, no matter how minor the realm of possibility of it being the case. They have to answer every possible scenario. So we got more from Dr. Budden. We've also got FBI talking about that police video when they were stopped a couple of weeks ago, and we'll dig.
From New York City to the world, Tom Sullivan.
So the big story now out of this whole Gabby story is they found her. Where is he? And today, very strange events going on at the parents' home in Florida, where this morning the FBI rolled up, five or six vehicles rolled up, walked into the house, knocked on the door with a search warrant. Don't know why they didn't have this earlier, but they have a search warrant, and they brought immediately, within a minute of the FBI knocking on the door, they brought the parents out of the house and sat them in a FBI vehicle, in a van, out in the driveway. And an FBI agent got in there and I guess was questioning them in there, but they had the run of the house to do their best. Well, they're still there. That was early this morning. They're set up. They got tables. They brought in food. They are scouring that house, the parents' house, up one side and down the other. So this gets to be the more mystery to everywhere you turn. So they said, yeah, Brian showed up with the van. Well, late this afternoon, they towed the silver Mustang that Brian was supposedly had driven over to this preserve area. He was going to go for a hike. And then they said that was on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, he didn't come home. So on Wednesday, they went over there, or Tuesday afternoon, they saw the car, but it had a note from the cops saying you have to move this car. Well, they left it thinking he'll need the car to drive back home. Well, he didn't come back home on Wednesday. So they went and got the car, the silver Mustang. That was on Wednesday. Friday, the local authorities show up and say, we'd like to talk to Brian. They say, he's not here. We haven't seen him since Tuesday. Why didn't they say something? Why are the parents covering up? So today they got the parents. They got him out of the house. They've towed the silver Mustang. They're going to go in and bring it into the forensic lab and examine that from bottom to top. And they brought the white van back and parked it in the driveway just before the show started. But the parents, are they going to be held criminally liable for hiding a fugitive? Is this a fugitive? He wasn't a fugitive. The whole behavior on their part is just strange. So where is Brian, the boyfriend? Brian Laundry. We don't know. And they could have been covering for him. He could be in faraway country by now. And the other question is he going to hurt himself? Because he obviously freaked out and drove all the way across the country after his girlfriend died, either by his hands or some other means. Speaking of other means, Dr. Bodden says, they'll also be looking for evidence of strangulation.
The most common type, if this is a homicide, the circumstances suggest strangulation being the most likely reason. A shooting or stabbing or being hit in the head with a baseball bat, if those were done, they would be easy to identify even at this later date. The holes in the body, the fractures would still be there even though there's a lot of decomposition. The neck injuries are going to be very important. Looking for hemorrhage underneath the skin to look for whether there are fractures of any of the windpipe bones, the bones in the larynx, the hyoid bone, the thyroid cartilage, the Adam's apple. The coroner medical examiner there will be looking for. So if there's a manual strangulation, they should still find some hemorrhages and fractures that could be identified, but that takes a very careful dissection, especially because of the decomposition of the soft tissues.
Yeah. So the FBI, former FBI official Chris Swecker brings up some interesting points. The 911 call that was made by somebody in Moab, Utah. And I thought about that over the weekends. I'm watching this story and I thought, you know, if you see a couple arguing, do you call the cops? I don't think most people would. So this wasn't just a couple arguing. This had to be something much more dramatic. So here is the 911 call to the Moab Police Department reporting the domestic dispute between this couple.
Grant County Sheriff's Office.
Were you able to get a description of the intoxication?
Hi, can you hear me, sir? Yeah, I can hear you. Hi, I'm calling. I'm right on the corner of Main Street by Moonflower, and we're driving by, and I'd like to report a domestic dispute. A Florida with a white van, Florida license plate, white land, gentleman, 5'6" beard. They just drove off. They're going down Main Street. They made a right onto Main Street from Moonflower.
Or what were they doing?
Cooperative, but what'd you say?
What were they doing?
We drove by, and the gentleman was slapping the girl.
He was slapping her?
Yes, and then we stopped. They ran up and down the sidewalk. He proceeded to hit her, hopped in the car, and they drove off.
Okay, you said it's a white van?
White van. I can give you the license plate. Just give me one sec. I took a picture of it.
What kind of white van? Like a big one?
It was a smaller van with the license plate of, it was white, Florida license plate, QFT. G03. It was, the make was a Ford, model was Transit, black ladder on the passenger side.
Black ladder, passenger side.
White Ford Transit.
White Ford Transit. Okay, what's your name? Where did they... So they turned... They headed south on Main Street from Moonflower Market?
Correct. They made the right turn.
Oh, so they went north.
North. Yeah, sorry, I'm not from around here.
Okay, are you... So you're right there by the post office?
Right across the street, yep.
Okay, and when they... turned onto Main Street, they went right or left?
Right.
Right, so they went north. North on Main. All right, I will let somebody know. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Bye. Thanks.
Yeah. So you heard what the witness said, was that he was slapping her. So Chris Swecker, who is a former FBI official, said... this didn't pass the smell test to him.
Yeah, I'm going to play amateur psychologist here, but maybe with a criminal forensic angle to it. He was clearly the dominant person. That's what came across to me in that traffic stop. She was apologizing for being mean, and clearly she's all of about 105 pounds, maybe. She looked very thin, almost emaciated in that exchange. She was putting everything on herself, and you saw Brian come out of the car and give his rendition of the story, and I came away thinking this is a sort of a toxic relationship where he is the dominant controlling person. Wow. And now we hear that as the call came in that she was being slapped and she was being hit, and you wonder how much of that was going on. Historically, did it happen before the trip? Did it just happen because of the proximity over 2 months in a small van, et cetera? But that does not help his case when it comes to building a circumstantial case against him if this turns out to be a homicide.
Yeah, a lot of places that deal with women that are abused said she was the classic victim. She kept apologizing for her actions. He didn't have any apology. So Chris Swecker from the FBI says the police department maybe wasn't trained to notice this.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder about the training in these small departments and how to handle these types of situations. You know, I didn't come away with that that impression just watching the full video of that traffic stop. And maybe a verbal interview they came away with a different story. She was taking the blame, clearly. And that, to me, that's the indication of how much control he has over her or had over her.
I want you to know that I love your show. You're inspiring to me.
Thank you. You can follow me on Twitter, address at Sullivan Radio. Don, who is in law enforcement, says, are the parents going to be held responsible? If he truly went for a hike, then no. He was not wanted at the time. If they helped him get out of the country, then yes, they will be in trouble. And Mike Thompson says, I'm saddened by the loss of this wonderful young woman. I'm angry that once again, the FBI failed to ferret out highly relevant information. Two Florida mass shootings, the list goes on, 911. Hey, they figured out a noose was the pull rope. Let's listen to Dr. Bodden, one more from him, talking about possibility of drug overdose.
We don't know what the cause of death is till the autopsy is done, but one of the things that has to also be considered is a drug overdose. And or whether or not she was taking any medications or didn't take medications that she was supposed to take. But ruling in or out drugs of abuse or a drug overdose under these circumstances is going to be very important, and will the length of time that she's been dead will not interfere with the toxicology that will be started by collection of material, tissue, and fluids by the coroner in Wyoming when they do the autopsy. And... that also has to be kept in mind as a possible cause of death, or something that might be raised as a cause of death if there should be a trial of somebody if this turned out to be definitely a homicide.
Dr. Michael, yeah. Michael, would you agree with me that you find it very mysterious that this man, Brian, would come back all the way across country and not cooperate in this investigation?
Ted, I agree with you 100%. However, that's not going to be allowed to necessarily come into trial if there were a murder trial.
Well, I know some of you don't like to hear. I mean, I look at Gabby, and I think she doesn't look like somebody that would use drugs, but you don't know. But like he said, you have to rule these things out as a forensic pathologist. So Miranda Baker is a woman who says that she gave a ride. She and, I don't know, her husband or boyfriend, they saw a guy hitchhiking, and she says it was Brian Laundry, and she describes giving him a ride over a couple, week or two ago.
In conversation, I brought up, yep, like, we're going to Jackson. He freaked out. He's like, nope, I need to get out right now. Pull over.
Yeah, they were just, he wanted to ride into Jackson, and then he freaked out about it. So Nancy Grace brings up, she's in on this thing. But she asks a great question. If the media, and especially the law enforcement, how did Brian leave with the silver Mustang on Tuesday and the parents brought it back on Wednesday and nobody saw the car move? Good question.
Well, number one, with all of the press and citizens outside the home, how did Laundry get out and nobody noticed? That place has been staked out 24/7. Did he really go to Carlton Reserve? Why do we believe that other than that's what the parents said? I don't understand how the car could have left with him in it. And then the parents bring it back and nobody sees any of this happening. I'm also very concerned about the condition in which Gabby was found, her remains. Was she buried? Was she at the bottom of a ravine? Was she attacked by animals? Did she die from the elements? Because if Gabby was buried, then she was murdered. That's what I need to find out.
Yeah, and the temperatures there are down around freezing at night. So the locals all say, no, you can't survive outside on the nights that they're having there because it's too cold. Jack Jupin, he's former FBI guy, said wherever Brian Laundry is, he's most likely just using cash.
Oh, I mean, obviously, you know, we're doing all the typical stuff of following credit cards. And, you know, obviously his phone, I'm sure we're pinging his phone right now to see where his location is. Mm-hmm. Unless he's thrown his phone away or, you know, disposed right of the battery, we're going to be able to identify the phone. And that's one of our normal tactics. If he is truly on the run, and he knows he's a suspect, he's using cash, so that's going to be very hard.
Yeah. That's what you do when you're on the run, right? Scott Peterson was arrested. He had a wad of cash with him because they know, even the bad guys, even the stupid criminals, know that they can be followed by the credit cards or whatever else you're using. So I find this story fascinating from, I don't believe a word the parents say. They did not say a thing when their son came home on the 1st of September until Gabby's parents said, where is she? And finally filed a missing persons report on the 11th. And the parents didn't say a thing. And they had to know, where's Gabby? That had to be the first question they asked. And so they told the police that, yeah, he took the car and he went down to this preserve to go hiking. And then we went and got the car and brought it back. And I'm thinking he was never in that reserve. They stopped hunting for him there. They've used, that's 25,000 acres. You need to have some unbelievable break, like this Red, White, and Berthune couple who were just moseying, looking for a campground in their RV. And again, I bring up hobbies. They live in that RV, and they travel all the time. They're nomadic. And they talk about, I saw an interview with them last night, they talk about the fact that the nomadic community is growing leaps and bounds. A lot of people, I don't know if they can't afford their home or they lost their home or... because these are not your homeless dudes down on the main street of Los Angeles. No, these are people, that motorhome they had was, had to be $100,000+. So I don't understand the nomadic community, but they swear that it's growing leaps and bounds. And I'm glad that they enjoy it. Not my cup of tea, but I'm glad they enjoy it. I guess people do. They just don't. They just pick up and leave. I don't know. How do you? I had a client years ago who did that just for fun for a year. And they sent their, forwarded their mail to me. And they would call me once a month and say, what have we got? That was a long time ago. But I don't know. Are you nomadic? I mean, is there a lot of people out there just roaming in motorhomes and camping out? But what a stroke of luck for that lady to say, well, wait a minute, we were near the Teton Park around that same time. Let's look on our videos and see if we see a white van. And lo and behold, there it was. We'll be right back.